Y'all ready for the word tonight? Amen. So we're going to be talking about acknowledging what God has given you. And one of the things I'm beginning to realize is that when God seems to have a point he wants to make, he repeats it over and over and over again, which says to me he really wants us to get it. You know, and something Roseanne said tonight, there's a little piece of that in my message. So it's like he's saying, I want you to really get this. The background scripture for this lesson, well, let me tell you that this lesson came out of a study that I was doing with Andrew Warmick's, A Sure Foundation. And I just took some excerpts from one of the lessons named it Acknowledge What God Has Given. And the background scripture is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Do we have that? It says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea." And I want to stop there because I think I have it on your outline. But I want you to know this because I think it's important in terms of setting the backdrop. The book of Colossians was written about, it says, AD 60. Paul seeks to focus the wonderful hope of the gospel and remind believers to not turn aside or fall victim to those who would minimize Christ and the church into empty philosophies and humanism. Paul is not the believed to be the one who started the church, nor had he ever been to the city. He just had a heart for the church in Colossians. It was most likely started by Epaphras, and this letter was written by Paul to Epaphras. Paul heard of the church in Colossae and began to pray for them. And the scripture goes on to say, he says, "I have a great conflict for you and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And he prays some real specific things, and I think they are things that we still need to grasp in the church today. The first thing was that their hearts might be comforted. I don't know about you, but there are many in the church today whose hearts need to be comforted. Some of them are in the wrong places, and they're feeling a dis-ease, and they need to be comforted. He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. You know, we keep hearing messages about love and the love of God and how important in the kingdom of God love is. And he says, "Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God." God wants us to have an understanding and an acknowledgement of the mystery of God and who we are in God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then he says, the next thing he's praying for, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught." That's what God wants for the church even today, that we would be rooted, we would be built up, and we would be established in the faith, abounding therein with all thanksgiving. Paul wants us to know certain things, and these are in your outlines. First of all, that we don't need more of God. Because we can have all of him that we want. We choose how much we get, right? God needs more of us. Say that. God needs more of me. He needs more of me, right? The other thing Paul wanted them to know is that you have all that you need. Why? Because Jesus has already purchased it for us. He's provided for us. God has given you everything. That's your second fill-in. The first one is God needs more of you. The second one is God's given you everything. We already have it, okay? The next thing he wanted them to know was you need to acknowledge what's already been given to you. He's given us life eternal. He's given us health. He's given us salvation. He's given us righteousness. He's already given us everything that we need. The next one, D, Christ in us is what? The hope of glory. And I did a teaching yesterday and talked a little bit about hope. And hope is believing that hope is like a target, you know? It's what we're aiming for. And, you know, I shared yesterday that when I was in high school, you know, in my gym class, we had a season where we were learning archery. And I had to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow. And it wasn't an easy thing to do because it was not anything I was familiar with. And one of the things that I didn't like about it was if I didn't hold the bow correctly, first of all, when I would come back and, you know, get ready to shoot the arrow, that cord would hit me right here and it would sting and it would burn. I did not like that. So I had to learn how to hold my arm correctly, right? We're talking about hoping in the Lord. We can't do it, you know, like slippery and sloppy. You know, we can't do it. We got to learn the correct way, right? And then when I would let go of that bow and the arrow, I had to aim for the target. And when I first started, my arrows were going over the target, under the target, in the ground. But one day, I got it right. And I got my eye on the target. That's my hope. And that arrow hit the target. My greatest hope was that it would hit the center of the target. You know, God wants us to be right in the middle of who he is and what he wants for us. Okay, so we need to know that Christ in you, in me, is the hope of glory. The next thing he wanted them to know was that Satan has no power against us except deception. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. And a lot of times we get caught up, like Roseanne was saying, in our thinking. You know, in 12-step programs, they call it stinking thinking. In the church, I think it's stinking thinking, too. We get caught up in the deceptions of the enemy. And this is fueled by ignorance. What does the word say? My people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. And where do we get our knowledge? From the word, right? Okay. Through knowledge, she's saying another scripture is, through knowledge are the just delivered. Yeah. Amen. The other thing he wanted them to know was they needed to stay rooted in the Lord and be thankful in everything. That's your fill-in. Okay. So I'm going to go back over the fill-ins just in case you didn't get them. A is that God needs more of you. B, God's given you everything. C, we need to know what is already given to you or to us. D, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And E, Satan has no power against you except deception. And that's fueled by ignorance. And next, that we need to stay rooted in the Lord and be thankful in everything. I think Pastor Tim and I were having a conversation earlier, and he even mentioned that. He says, most of our prayers should not be focused on ourselves, but thanking God for what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, what he's promised us. I remember there was a song, and I think it was, this was years ago, Babbie Mason. She wrote this song, and it was Christmas time, and it was in the chorus, and it was, give me this and give me that, and I want some of this, and those were the words to the song, you know. And sometimes we go to the Lord that way, you know, and we want him to do it our way, but that's not the way it works. He wants us to do it his way and to be in his will, amen. Okay, he was also telling the church to beware, and the scripture there says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So who has to be our focus? Jesus Christ, amen? The other thing, we need to be on guard or be aware, because we're in a war. Do you know a lot of the church doesn't know we're in a war? We don't know that we're in a war, but we're in a war that we win. But if we don't learn the word, get it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, we can easily be deceived. I shared yesterday also that because I've experienced God's healing me, I've seen evidence. I mean, even in this church, I've seen evidence of people being healed. I remember, I think it was Price's granddaughter. Remember the little girl who lost the tip of her finger and the tip of the finger grew back out? You know? Nancy Jarvis's granddaughter, okay? And, you know, people that we prayed for, prayed with. You know, Pastor Tim gave a testimony of this family that came to healing rooms one day. The mother had needs, the father had needs, and the little child, I think he was 2 years old. He had terrible food allergies. They were missionaries. They had to come back to the States because they couldn't keep their child overseas because the food, his body couldn't tolerate the food. And he would get the anaphylactic kind of shock where he couldn't breathe and it was too dangerous. Yeah, too dangerous for him to be there. She brought him in. We prayed with him. When we did a follow-up call, the little boy I think I'm saying this correctly, from the time that we prayed for him until that call was made, the follow-up call was made, that little boy had been delivered from every food allergy. He didn't have any symptoms of food allergy. You know, we have a testimony that God is faithful. He hears us. He answers when we call. And like Pastor Tim said tonight, we need to know, at least I think I've been with him the last 2 days, so we've talked, I think it was tonight he said that, but we need to know that when God speaks something, when he makes a promise to us, his promises are sure, you know? And we have to stand on those promises come hell or high water, you know? We stand on them, you know? And we get them in our heart. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I won't sin against you. And the sin is not like an action, I don't think, necessarily there. It's an attitude. It's believing the truth of the word. Amen? Okay. So we need to know that we're in a war. And that war, we have an enemy. And that our goal, even our own soul enemy, yeah. Because sometimes we fight against ourselves, you know. And as we move on in this lesson, we talk about philosophies. It's ways of thinking. And that's one of the ways we can trip ourselves up, and is how we think. So when we get to the end of the lesson tonight, you're going to have a homework assignment. Because we need to know what we do that trips us up. Thinking that we have that is not good. It doesn't line up with God or his word. You know, I know one of the ones that I have had to deal with a good portion of my life is a spirit of rejection, thinking I wasn't good enough, I wasn't worthy. That was stinking thinking, you know, and you know, yesterday I was sharing, because I didn't realize until I started talking tonight that there were some parallels in the teaching I did yesterday and what I'm teaching tonight. But God wants to fulfill himself in us in the earth. He does. He wants the fulfillment of the kingdom of God to come through us on the earth. And if we have stinking thinking, if we have a wrong philosophy, then we hinder that. We hinder that from happening. And that's not the will of God for our lives. Okay, so the other thing that we need to do and know is that the enemy wants to strip us of everything. And Roseanne was saying, some of us have been challenged, you know. You walk in and it seems like things are going really well, and all of a sudden you hit a bump in the road and it knocks the wind out of you. And you go, Lord, what's happening? It's the enemy trying to strip you. But, you know, whenever we saw wars in the Bible and the children of God, what did he tell them to do? He said, go in and take the spoils. We need to take the spoils. We need to take back what belongs to us. Amen? Okay. So, and words, I never forget, Brother Ronnie said this years ago. We are a voice-activating people. And words are weapons. And everything we say ministers either life or death. That's the next fill-in. There are no neutral words. They're either life-giving or they're death-giving, right? And so words are weapons. Yeah. In Mark 11:23, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. You can have what you say, or you can say what you have. And that means we can say what our condition is, or we can say what the word of God says, right? And how many times have we, that's another way we can get tripped up, by saying what we have. Woe is me, you know? Things are not working for me. The other thing, again, from yesterday, is that we have to put the past in the past. The past is not walking in faith, you know? We cannot walk with a failure mentality. We have to walk with a divine appointment mentality. And what happens often is we do not know how to ask God for too much, because we make him seem like he's not able to do too much. But he's a too much God. He wants to bless our socks off. That harvest that Veronica was talking about tonight, he wants to bring those people in more than we do, but he needs us to do it. But if we go on our past, where maybe we witnessed to somebody, we told a coworker about the Lord, or, you know, somebody slammed a door in our face, and that's what we remember, and we approach people with that kind of thinking, you're expecting the same thing that happened before to happen again. That's a spirit of failure. God wants us to have a divine appointment, you know, thinking, going forward. Faith is now. He wants us to walk in faith. Amen? Okay, so let's go to see. Oh, I wanted to give you this scripture too. We all know this one. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the word, right? So we can speak death to ourselves, or we can speak life to ourselves. Amen? C says, philosophy is a system of thought. And what happens is, if we think a certain way, it becomes an attitude. Christians don't have attitudes, do we? And we have to learn how to not operate, because I think attitude is in that soul realm. It's in that emotional realm. And we can't approach God from that realm because he is spirit, right? And we don't need to operate in that realm. And whether you realize it or not, we all have a philosophy of thinking. We all do. And sometimes it needs to be changed, you know? Someone can say something to you, and it can trigger something in your past, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your tood comes out. Like Isabel says, the monkeys come out. The monkeys come out, right? Yeah, we don't want to let the monkeys out, right? And Satan's inroad to your life is through your thinking. You know, have you ever been in church and all of a sudden a thought comes to your mind and it may not be a godly thought? And I don't know about you, but I've had that happen. And I think, I'm in church. Where did that come from? So I have to cast it down. But what the enemy would like you to do is sit there and mull over it and think, well, you know, and entertain it. Then you miss praise and worship. You can't concentrate on the word. You go home and you feel miserable. And you don't know why. Because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? You know, we gotta get rid of the stinking thinking. Those philosophies and ways of thought in the world. You know, somebody doesn't speak to you, you know? And you get your feelings hurt. You know, I've had that happen to me, and I probably have been, what am I trying to say? I've probably done that to someone else, not intentionally, but because I'm in my own mind and my own thoughts, I'm not paying attention to you, or I'm busy, or whatever. But I think I said to some of the altar team when we had a meeting, if you see me in that mode, shake me, you know, let me know, hey, you know, where are you today? You know, don't let me stay there. Because sometimes it's just your own thoughts. They will trip you up, you know. How many times have you been on your way to church and maybe somebody else is in another car, you know, they pull over in front of you and you think, I'm going to church, and then you have a bad thought. And then that just, you know, oh, I'm a terrible person. The enemy goes, you're terrible. You can't be a Christian. Do you know how he accuses you? Even sinners will do that. They'll tell you, well, how can you call yourself a Christian? You know, even they know what we're supposed to do, but we forget, you know? And you get tripped up. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, people, don't get tripped up. Even as the word came forth tonight, we have to know our station in life and whose we are. We are new creations in Christ. We have eternal life on the inside. Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. And he is a too much God. He can handle anything. He can handle anything. He can handle anything. All we have to do is to position ourselves when we trip up and repent. You know, say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me. And you know, he does it every time. He does it every time. Okay. Satan's inroad to your life is through your thinking. That's how he affects you and I. The way you think dictates the way you are. It does. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink and say he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And one of the things I realized is that, you know, I've worked with people most of my life. I can see the good in someone else. I can try affirm, good, thank you, affirm them. But as Pastor Festus was sharing with us on Sunday, when people are so steeped in shame and hurt, it's so hard for them to hear that. And with some people, it takes a little bit more effort than others. But I can tell you from my work experience that if you hang in there with them, all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and they begin to see a quality or worth to their life. And when we got saved, I remember I shared this with someone recently. It was one of the things that happened to me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Before, I always felt like there was this hole on the inside of me that could not be filled. It was, I can't really, other than that, I can't really describe it to you. It was like something was missing. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like the next day, that hole was gone. I can't explain where it went or how it went or when it went, but it went. There was a peace, there was a joy, there was a beauty to the world that I had not seen before. You know, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, I love Holy Spirit. I love Jesus and I love the Father, but I love Holy Spirit. And I love that he is the one that's in the earth today. He's still hovering over the face of the earth. He's still convicting men of sin, and he's convicting us of righteousness. He's a good guy. I love the Holy Spirit. I do. Thank you. And he shares the things of the Father with us, you know? He comforts us, you know? I don't know about you, but when I worship the Lord and I get lost in him and I'm praying in the Spirit, it's nothing like that. You can't give me, there's not enough money to buy that. It's so good. It's so sweet. It's so awesome. And if we can find that place in him, everything we need will be right there. You know? Amen. Okay. And then I love this scripture, and I have to say this to myself a lot. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when I find when I have those bumps in my life and I find myself not thinking the way that I know I should think, I have to remind myself that that's a death to me. That's death to me. And I'm that's not who I am. You know, I correct myself. I auto-correct. Holy Spirit helps me auto-correct. Amen. All right. So number three, Satan's weapon is deception. Let's look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And if we go on with that story, that's not what God said, you know? And from the study, Andrew said what happened is, what he believed happened is, the woman touched the fruit and nothing happened. And then she ate the fruit. So the enemy had her right away. So sometimes we have to be careful what we touch. Touch in our thinking, you know, and our thoughts. What are we touching, you know? I was watching something recently. I can't remember what it was, but actually, it was a movie, and this young man was trying to, God was beginning to deal with him and work with him about, you know, bringing people to the Lord, and he convicted him because he and his Christian buddies, they and their wives would go to movies, and the movies weren't always godly movies, and God began to convict him. He said, what if that was your daughter, your sister, your mother in that screen in the movie? And it really brought conviction to him. And he said, well, I don't want to go to those kind of movies anymore. And then he began to talk to the little network of people that he was with. And basically, they started a revival just because of that conviction, you know? But to think about that for a minute, we watch movies sometimes. They're not always clean. They don't always have the best words in them. What if that was your mom, your sister, your grandma, your child? Would you want somebody else watching them on the screen? Just think about what you might watch, And I remember watching, I was with some kids and I was watching a movie with them, or like even a cartoon. And you know, when I think I grew up watching it, but when I watched it with them, it was like, something's not right about that cartoon. You know, the conviction came to me. I didn't want those kids to see that. You know, I think about, and this is way off, but I think about cartoons I used to look at, you know, like Roadrunner and, you know, Toucan Sam and all those. Those were rough movies. Little, you know, they weren't nice cartoons. Yeah, you know, and what you learn is that you can run a car over somebody and flatten them and they bounce back up. That's not true. You know, they lied. You know, so even when we are thinking about philosophies and ways that we think about movies or things that we watch, you know, how is that getting into our hearts? And it changes how we see the world. Amen. Remember, Satan's weapon is deception. Temptation comes in the form of thoughts, words challenging God's words. Did you hear what I said? Thoughts. They're words that challenge God's word. Change and control your thoughts, and you will be transformed and escape temptation. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're only transformed by the renewing of our mind. Your ways of thinking determine who you are. And they really do. I mean, they set the tone for how you behave, how you interact with other people, you know. Okay, so this last page, and I may not go over all of these scriptures, but you can do this as your homework. Some philosophies or systems of thought. One is around depression. I don't know if anybody here has ever dealt with a depressed mood, or you stay in depression. Do you know that's not the will of God for his body? Yeah. Yeah. He wants us to have, you know, and you know, like even when you go to a medical doctor and they take your family history, in mental health, they take your family history. So if your mama was depressed, you're supposed to be depressed. If your mama had anxiety, you're supposed to have anxiety. And so, you know, you come to believe that that's the way you're supposed to be. No. No. The joy of the Lord is our strength, you know. And so if you find yourself depressed, and I don't mean to imply that you can't ever feel down. That's, you know, there are things that happen that make us sad, but God is still our joy. He's our strength. And I think about all the times, I love David when I read in the Psalms. He may start off down here, but he ends up here. He always finds a way to praise God, you know? And I think it was Fred Hammond, he made the song. He says, I'll find a way to bless you, Lord, no matter what's happening. I'm going to find my way to blessing the Lord. So just remember that. And then a poverty mentality. That's also a philosophy or a way of thinking. And we have to change that. And when I talk about, you know, I shared a little bit about this yesterday too. It's like I have had times in my life where money was stolen from me, you know. And one time it was a substantial amount, and it was by a Christian organization. And it took a while to forgive that, you know. It really hurt. But it was also maybe my being a little bit presumptuous, so I had to take my level of responsibility for that as well. So when I come into the Lord talking about prosperity, my thinking goes back to, well, this happened before. You know, I took this action and this happened before. So there isn't always the level of trust to know that's in the past. That was a failure. I'm in the present. So I want to have a divine thinking about what God is saying about prosperity, because I don't want to block it. And we can do that. We are prosperous people, so we have to have prosperous thoughts. I hope that helps you. It helped me. It really did. I can't rely on or let the past keep me from walking into the future God has for me. Because that's gone. And faith is now, right? Okay. Sickness and health. That's a way of thinking too. We've talked about this one before. It's flu season, so we got to get the flu. I'm so angry with the people now. I still see people, and please, I'm not trying to say if you need. I mean, when I go into a facility and they say I have to wear a mask, I put on a mask. Okay, so I'm not saying no to mask, but I get tickled. I see people standing at the bus stop with their mask on. In their car with their mask on. And then these commercials that continue to go, you know, about pushing this shot. You got something to say? Okay.
I just have to add this. And I'm driving around just doing one errand today on the national news, you know, two outbreaks of the monkeypox. Two outbreaks, but had to make national news.
So, you know, we can get caught up in that. We can get a hiccup there, you know. Somebody coughs in church, you know. We get a little scared, you know. No, God is our healer. And that truth has to be more real to us than the lie, you know. Okay, but it's a way of thinking. How do we think about those things? And we're not all perfect, I know, but God, I'm saying God wants, he said, he wants to bring us to that place, full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. We're in a new kingdom. When we got born again, everything changed. But the problem is, we don't know it yet. We haven't walked into it yet. It has not been totally fulfilled in us. And God is saying he wants to fulfill that truth in us and through us. Amen. My rights and Jesus' rights. You know, well, Lord, I'll serve you. But first I got to do this, or I have to have this. No, it's his way. You know. What is that commercial? Was it Burger King? Have it your way? God says, I want it my way, you know? And no deviation, you know? We give up all to serve him because he gave all to us. And the more I mature, I realize that the more I yield to him, the more I have that I desire, you know? It doesn't make any sense in my head, but I know it's true in my heart. Yeah. Anger and strife versus walking in peace. God talks a lot about us being in peace. He doesn't want us angry. He says the wrath and anger belong to him. He's the only one who can punish things that are not right. Okay? And I'm still being redeemed in that area. And I'm sure we all are. Okay, so your assignment, and this was in the little lesson from Andrew. Can you identify any areas in your life where you've been deceived in believing something contrary to the word? You know, when I actually did the assignment, and I'm not going to share with you what mine are because they're mine, but there were three areas that I could clearly identify, just popped out at me. Yeah, there are three areas where my believing has not been in line with God's word, but I want to correct that. Identify and write down any negative thought patterns in your life. What are they? You know, Write them down. And how will you change these? What are you going to do to change them? Amen. That's it. God bless you. Well, we can come on up and make our circle.